Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry.
All right, let's go live to NRG. Nick Caserio making his opening statements 2 weeks away from when he is scheduled to make his first draft pick. What will you say about Deshaun Watson? Let's hear from him now.
They've done a great job. Everybody's put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy. Certainly appreciate it. Excited about the start of the offseason program here, kind of kick off football season. We'll see what that brings here starting Monday, but we're excited about where we're headed and, appreciate everybody taking a few minutes here this morning to get together. So I think we'll go ahead and get started.
John, you want to start us off?
Yeah, good morning, Nick. How are you?
Morning, John.
I wanted to ask you for an update on Watson's situation and about trade possibility, just whatever information you can give us, please.
Yeah, I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
Sarah.
Nick, the last time we talked to us, you said that Deshaun is your quarterback and you don't want to trade him. But have the lawsuits affected at all how teams have approached you about his availability?
Yeah, right now the focus is on the offseason program, getting ready for the draft. So I think that situation is in a legal process and we're respectful of where that is. So we'll leave it there and we'll focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting our team ready for the start of the offseason program and getting our group ready for the draft and the opportunities that will be in front of us here, you know, in a couple of weeks. So that's where our focus is.
Aaron Reese.
Nick, you signed Tyrod Taylor in free agency. Why was he kind of a fit for you guys, given the uncertainty you faced at quarterback? Why do you think he was a good person to come in the situation?
Yeah, I'd say generally speaking, when you look at the whole roster construction in the offseason program, what we try to do just at all positions with the entire team is try to identify players that we thought we liked, that may have had some experience with our staff and that – we're looking for the opportunity to compete, to be in a good situation. I want to be in Houston. So he certainly fell into that category like a lot of other players. So, we're excited to start to work with this group whenever that is. And, how it's all going to unfold, like nobody has a crystal ball. But, we just tried to do what we thought was best for the organization, for the team. So that's why we signed the players that we did.
Vanessa.
Hi, Nick. There are obviously a lot of scenarios that could happen from Deshaun Watson sitting out to Deshaun Watson getting suspended. There could be a trial. How are you planning for those different scenarios and what are your kind of contingency plans as you look ahead?
Yeah, we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, you should probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting ready for the draft and trying to take advantage of the opportunities to continue to add to our team and build our roster. And we'll just take it one day at a time and focus on the things that we can control.
Berman.
Hey, Nick. What are the potential of you drafting up or trading up? And if that's not a possibility, the possibility of moving back to add picks.
Yeah, Mark, it's a great question. I think when you just look at the draft in general, right, there's a multitude of strategies that you can employ. A lot of that is based on resource allocation, and a lot of it is really player driven, right? So when you talk about moving up for a player or moving up in the draft, right, who are you moving up for, right? And what's the cost associated with doing that, right? So in order to move X number of spots, okay, it's going to cost you this, right? So part of our draft, I would say preparation, is look at different scenarios, right? How far could we actually move relative to the resources that we currently have in place, right? So I think the most important thing is always being prepared to pick whenever you're scheduled to pick. And if there's an opportunity to move up or down, we'll be flexible, we'll be open-minded, and we'll just try to make best use of the resources that we have. I would say there's no set formula, Mark, of going up or going down. And it's very player specific and very player driven. So if you feel like you might be at risk of potentially losing a player and there's a player that you really like, okay, maybe it's worth moving five or six spots. And then what's the cost associated with doing that? So again, we're going to have to look at our picks, what we have, what gives us the opportunity to move up. If we want to move down, we think we can move back and acquire the same player. There's some risk involved in that, right? So you try to weigh everything and just try to make a good decision whenever you have to pick.
Nick Caserio live from NRG. No comment on Deshaun Watson 2 weeks away from
the draft. Don't want to speculate, but I do want to ask you honestly, did you say maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago believe that Deshaun Watson could have been traded before the draft? And if so, has that changed at all?
I've never said that. I mean, if that was something that someone said I said, I don't believe I said that. You know, I think the most important thing for us is to do what we think is best for the Houston Texans, and that's what we're going to do.
Ed Werder.
Yeah, Nick, I think you're the only team that doesn't have a pick in the top 60, and yet you have this really valuable asset that you may or may not trade or get offers for. How difficult is it to prepare for a draft when you have, you could pick in the top 10 or you may pick 60 or later?
Good question. And quite frankly, not difficult at all. I mean, we haven't had first and second round picks before. That was the case in New England. I think one year we were picking like 70th or something like that. We didn't have a first or second round pick. We ended up picking four players. So again, I think the most important thing is to evaluate the players, have an understanding of the board top to bottom, and whatever opportunity you have to pick, whenever that is, just be ready to pick the player that you feel most comfortable with. So to answer your question, quite frankly, it's not that difficult. I think we've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of research. Look, we've evaluated the board top to bottom. It's not, well, we don't have a first or second round pick. We're not going to evaluate this group of players. It's kind of irresponsible. But our staff, Lipford, James and his staff, and our area scouts, and we've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of information. Again, when you're watching a team, right, you know, you might think, okay, this player is going to get picked in the first however many picks. But when you're watching that team and evaluating that school, it's not like you're not going to go through your evaluation process, right? To say, well, we don't have a first or second round pick. This player's not going to be there, so we're not going to worry about him, right? It's kind of negligent, right, or irresponsible. So quite frankly, it's not that big of a deal. I think it gets made into a bigger deal than the reality of what it is. So whatever our opportunities are, whatever picks we have, we're just going to try to maximize those opportunities.
Terrence.
Hey, Nick. Hey, I just want to ask quick questions. How do you proceed or go forward with the uncertainty that you're dealing with at your most important position? And then secondly, you look at a guy like a Tyrod Taylor, you say he was a good fit. Would he have been a good fit considering, I mean, this is a guy who's been a consistent starter pretty much throughout his career. Would he have been a good fit if there weren't this kind of uncertainty with Deshaun at this point?
A couple good questions. We'll kind of work back to front on that. I would say when you look at our team, right, so we went through the offseason. We went through back and evaluated our team, right, and we went through the roster. And I would say specific to the quarterback position, right, there was only one player that was under contract around the team, right? So we were evaluating that position in addition to a multitude of other positions as well, right? So we went through our process. We tried to earmark or identify some players that we thought we liked. I would say in his particular case, he has some experience with coaches on our staff or has some experience, you know, in this type of offense or system. So regardless, like that was a position where, quite frankly, we didn't have very many numbers, right? AJ was a free agent, Josh retired. So when you have one player at any one position on the team, you need more than one person, right? You're going to need more than one person, right? So I think that's kind of how we approached it and just kind of went through our process and evaluated it accordingly.
Ron.
Hey, Nick, you were, when you arrived here, were a guy who had options, as respected as you were around the league. People knew you were going to be a GM soon. And with the issues with the Texans cap situation, the issue with some of the talent and the draft situation with not having any picks in the top 60, how big a role did Deshaun Watson play on your decision to come to Houston?
Look, anytime you make a decision in a professional decision, right, you're going to evaluate every piece of information, right? So there's a lot of things that go into it. And again, whenever you accept a position or start something new, right, you have no idea what's going to be in front of you, right, or what that entails, right? You can just take the information that you have, make a decision, and make a choice. I was blessed to have the opportunity to come here to Houston. I'm excited to be here. And, you know, we're just going to take it one day at a time. So, again, like, are there challenges? Everybody faces challenges. We all have challenges, right? I would say, just generally speaking, there's a lot bigger challenges in society that are taking place right now than anything really going on from our football team, right? So I think it's important to kind of keep everything in perspective. So, again, you look at everything, you assess the information, you make a decision, and you just move forward, right? And look, you're going to face difficult situations, and there's going to be circumstances that come up, and how you deal with those situations ultimately is the most important thing. And that's kind of how our approach has been philosophically. I know that's David's mindset. That's our coaching staff mindset. So, like, the past, I would say, 3 to 4 months have been, quite frankly, like, pretty refreshing and invigorating. Like, we've tried to do what we feel is best for our team, try to build a team, try to put together as competitive a team as possible, and try to get ready for the upcoming season. And that's all we really can control, right? So, to answer your question, I think those are the things that are they're relevant, not necessarily, like, here are the challenges and here are the things that, like, it looks like it's a real difficult situation. Again, life's full of challenges, right? And how you handle it ultimately determine, you know, the outcome.
Nick Caserio live from NRG here on Sports Radio 610.
And the personnel staff you're working with here a couple of times, James and that group, they were obviously here before you got here, and you've decided to keep them on it to help you with everything. And yet you've basically done a complete overhaul of the roster and made almost 40 acquisitions. What was the thinking behind keeping those guys in charge of personnel to work with you and then all the moves that you've made?
Yeah, we've actually made a lot of changes in that area as well. I mean, there's some carryover. There's some, you know, carryover that's been in place or some people that are still in place. So, again, you evaluate everything. You try to assess the information, try to make a good decision across the entire football operation. And that's what we did. So have a lot of confidence in that group, have experience working specifically with James, going back to our background together in New England. So, again, there's a lot of factors. It's never one particular thing that goes into making those decisions. It's a good group. It works hard, good, hardworking group. They're smart. And there's been a lot of communication back and forth. And we're trying to put some systems in place. Maybe some things are a little bit different than what they've done previously. But again, we're trying to do is just trying to merge it all together and ultimately arrive at the same point, right? Try to make good decisions for the Houston Texans organization. And really, it's our decision. It's not my decision. It's not David's decision. It's not James's decision. It's our decision organizationally. And once we make a decision, we're going to move forward. Understanding, and I would say specific to the draft, right? When we look at that, I mean, we're talking about really a 50-50 proposition, right? So it's a coin flip. So there's some players that are going to come in here that are going to work. There's some other players, for whatever reason, they're not going to work. That's just the nature of what we do, right? And I would say there's a lot of players that we signed of the however many, 35, 40 players. Some of them might not be here in September, right? So where the roster is currently, it might look a little bit different in September as well. I mean, that's just part of the arc and the ebb and flow of the NFL and the overall roster building. So we're excited about the group of people that are here. The attitude's been great. The energy's been great. And, you know, we're just trying to make as much progress as we can one day at a time and just see where that takes us.
Cody Davis.
Hey, Nick, with the draft coming up, is there a particular position that you guys are prioritizing more over others in order to improve this team with the season coming up?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's always the discussion of, okay, quote unquote, need, okay, versus maybe picking the best player, right? So what we've tried to do successfully or unsuccessfully, what we've tried to do is just create as much competition on the roster as we possibly could, right? So some positions, you know, I don't know, we have like 15 defensive linemen on a team between defensive tackles and the defensive ends, right? So there's 8, 9 linebackers. We have 9 corners, right? So does that prohibit us from maybe taking a player, maybe one of those positions? Not necessarily, right? So you have to assess who that player is that you're evaluating, that you're making a decision on relative to maybe what you have currently in place and see how that matches up. And maybe there's another position where A may not have as many numbers, or you feel, you know what, this player definitively is an upgrade from what we have, or at least we think he is. So we're going to go ahead and select that particular person. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily position specific. I think our focus is just trying to find good football players that are good people, that have the right mindset, that want to come here, that want to work hard, that aren't afraid of competition, that are going to embrace the opportunity in front of them. And ultimately, it's not going to be about what I think. The players are going to ultimately determine how big of a role or who plays, right? So just try to bring as many good players, as many good people into the building and let the competition sort itself out. I think that's the mindset and that the approach that we're taking, as opposed to we need to draft this specific position because of this, or we want to take this particular player because of this, right? Because if you do that, it might lead you astray. And I think you just want to try to be true to your evaluations of specific, we're talking about the draft, be true to those evaluations, and you've graded the players a certain way. So what you don't want to do is, well, this player at this position, you know, is graded a little bit higher, but we have so many of those players on our team already. Maybe this player is graded a little bit lower, but we don't have as many players. Okay, so you're going to take the player down here, right? You got to be careful about doing that, because then it goes against all the work that you put into it, right? So again, it's about just picking the right people for the Texan, the right players, not necessarily a specific position of quote unquote need.
Adam.
Hi, Nick. You guys start your offseason program next week, correct?
The start of the offseason program is scheduled for Monday. That's correct.
Do you expect Deshaun to participate in that?
Well, this year's no different. It's a voluntary program, right? So players have the option to participate in the program. So it's a case-by-case basis, and each player will make the choice that they feel is best. What we're going to do is we're going to do what we've done actually the past couple of months. Like, the building's been open. We've had a multitude of players that have been in here. They come in the building, they test, they go in the weight room, they work out, they go through their process. So again, whatever players are here that choose to participate, like, that's their choice, and we're going to create as good of a working environment for the players as possible. So when they come here, they feel comfortable and they feel like they're improving as a Houston Texan football player. So that's what our focus is going to be on.
John.
Nick, based on what you just said, when the off-season program gets beyond the physical conditioning, and they would usually be on the field, if they're not on the field, how does that affect a new coach, defensive scheme change, and so many new players that you've brought in to just have it virtually?
Yeah, John, look, there's only so much that we control, right? So we'll take advantage of whatever opportunities that we have, whether it's virtual meetings. And then if we do have the opportunity to work with them on the practice field at some point, then we'll embrace that opportunity when it presents itself. So we can only control what we can control. We don't make the rules. We just comply with the rules. And that's what we'll do. So whatever opportunities that we have with the players, to try to help them, to try to give them the opportunity so that come training camp, they're in the best position to compete. Like, that's what we'll do.
Aaron Reese.
Nick, a lot of the teams you were a part of in New England, it seemed like devoted more resources towards the secondary than pass rush. I know those things kind of work in concert, but as you rebuild this defense, where do you place the most value in terms of, is it more about coverage than rush?
It's all combined, right? So it all works together. Defense is about team defense, right? It's not about one particular player, about one particular position. So it's all works in conjunction with one another, right? So the better front you have, then it's going to help the coverage. The better coverage is going to help the front, right? So again, it's not about, like, is one more important than the other, right? It's about team defense, right? There's 11 players on the field, and they have to work in conjunction and in unison with one another. So that's the best way to play defense, is to have good team defense. You know, you got to be able to do certain things. There are certain areas that hopefully we can improve relative to where we were last year as a team with the Houston Texans, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Nick Caserio live at NRG on Sports Radio 610, right?
Hey, Nick, what are some of the specific qualities that you look for in a player to bring to the Texans?
Great question. So there's certain physical attributes that are going to be important. Those are going to be specific to the position, right? Like their speed, their explosiveness. Again, there's certain things that may be a little bit more relevant physically to whatever position that they're playing. And I would say some of the non-tangible components, which are a little bit harder to measure, right? I would say their mindset, they're relative to the team. Do they put the team first? Are they willing to be coached? Are they willing to improve? Can they make corrections? Can they make adjustments? Can they handle a large volume of information? Okay. Can they transition from, you know, one opponent to the next opponent? And can they reduplicate that on a week-to-week basis? I think being able to perform consistently over the course of a long period of time and sustain that level of performance and improve and make adjustments and corrections. Those are some of the non-tangible things that are harder to measure, right? That you don't really get the opportunity to see until you actually have them in the building. So there's physical attributes that are important, physical components that are important. And there's some non-tangible, I would say, more football trait related things that are just as important that we can't look past, because ultimately some of those things are going to determine how good or not the player is going to be. And I could just speak, not to speak on any particular player in New England, but just on the heels of Edelman's retirement, right? There's a good example of a player who had some physical characteristics, right? But then he also had some non-football traits relative to his work ethic, relative to his mindset, relative to his willingness to improve on a day-to-day basis that made himself into the player that he ultimately became. So again, I'd say we have a lot of people in our roster, in our locker room, that have that same sort of mindset and mentality. So those are the things that we're going to try to bring to the fore and see if we can identify in the players in a draft that have some of those qualities. So then we can, they come in here, then we can actually evaluate those and see those.
Sarah.
Nick, what was your mindset as you made changes to the offensive line this offseason?
Again, like just evaluate the team, do what we feel is best, you know, for our organization. So we have some players that were here last year that are returning. We have some players that played last year that are no longer here. So again, just trying to look at everything and just trying to make smart decisions or what we think are best for our team. So that's why, you know, there's a lot of factor. I would say, Sarah, it's like one particular factor that goes into that. There's a multitude of factors that go into those types of things, right? So you have to factor those in and then you make a decision and then you just move forward with it.
Brian Berryfield.
Nick, with the way that the COVID protocol is going this year, has it been harder for you all to get out and to be at some of these pro days and to,
The
scouting combine being the way it is? Has it been harder for you all?
It's a great question, Brian. I wouldn't say it's been harder. I'd say it's probably been just more different, right? Because each team with the pro days specifically, right, you're allowed three representatives from your organization, right? And you couldn't have, I would say, one-on-one interaction. I would say normal protocol and course of action would be going to the school the night before, meet with the player, spend some time in the classroom, be able to go through some things, right? And then watch the player work out next day. And then you kind of put together a comprehensive report of like what you saw or what that interaction was like, right? This year it was, okay, show up, watch the player work out and leave, right? So again, it was just different. So you just have to come up with maybe some alternative ways to gather information. And I think our staff has done a good job of that as possible, scouting staff and coaching staff, because we do have the opportunity to interface with these players on a one-on-one basis, kind of like we're doing here right now, right? Like we could have that call. You can get on a call with a player for an hour and go through some of the same things that you would do with the school, right? So you just had to sort of shift your mindset and shift gears a little bit and be flexible with your thinking. And again, you're still trying to arrive at the same endpoint. I would say in addition to the pro day process, you know, when you go back and look at the fall, right, some teams played more games than others, right? So you have a bigger sample on some players relative to others, right? So I wouldn't say it's necessarily made it harder. It's been a little bit different. Yeah, but again, like you just have to trust your process, trust what you're doing, and just try to figure out a way, right, to arrive at the end point so you make a good decision ultimately at the end.
Brandon.
And going back to the player evaluation, when you're evaluating a quarterback that might be available in the mid rounds, are you evaluating that quarterback differently than, say, you would a quarterback that would be available top at the top of the draft? And are you guys looking in that direction at all this year?
Are you talking about anybody specific, Brian? No, I'm just playing. So I would say
if you have one.
any position, Brandon, right? You have certain criteria that you're going to evaluate that player, right? So regardless of their level of performance or their level of play or who they are, you're evaluating them on the same criteria, right? Then you're assigning a numerical grade based on that particular skill set or attribute, right? So then when you compile all that together, the end result might be, okay, this player grades out at this level, right? This player grades out at a different level, right? You don't necessarily, you're not evaluating them on different metrics. You just maybe have a different endpoint of what you think of the player, right? So what goes into playing one position doesn't necessarily change regardless of where they're picked, right? You're still looking at those same attributes. And then maybe one player at one level, maybe he doesn't have quite all the qualities that you like, but he's got these things that he does pretty well and you feel comfortable. And okay, so we're going to assign a numerical grade because we think it's commensurate with the role that we're projecting, right? So it doesn't necessarily change how you evaluate it. But again, each player has their own skill set and some are more equipped or better in some areas than others. And that's what you have to weigh out. So hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, and I just wanted to clarify my question from earlier, because I think it came off differently than how I intended. It wasn't that did you say that you would trade him, but I was asking, did you believe that Deshaun Watson could be traded before the draft? And if so, has that belief changed at all?
Yeah, again, I'd say kind of go back to what I said earlier. I'm really not going to get into a lot of hypotheticals or kind of speculation. I think the most important thing on all of this, on any particular situation, what we're doing organizationally, we're going to do what ultimately we feel is best for our team.
We have time for three more. Mark Berman.
Nick, you've used free agency extensively to overhaul your roster. How much work could be done between now and draft that could affect what you're thinking in the draft, or is it apples and oranges?
Not necessarily, Mark. Look, it's all tied together. I think when you look at the team right now, so we're at, I think, 78, 79 players, right? So, okay, so you can get to 90, right? So that leaves, call it 10 to 12 spots or 10 to 12 areas, right? If you go beyond that 10 to 12, then it's going to come at the expense of maybe some other player, another position, right? So what you try to do is put the team in place before the draft, then you evaluate where you are, make an assessment, okay? And then go through your draft process and look at, you know, potentially the players that might be available. Let's say we're picking at 67, right? Let's say nothing changes, right? Who's going to be available? And does it necessarily impact by these 78 over here? It might be, but it might not be. Again, you just want to try to pick good football players. Again, I'll use an example, just kind of going back to what we did in New England. So whatever, 2-3 years ago, right? So we drafted Damian Harris, I think it was in the third round, right? Because we had a certain grade. You know, when you look at that position, right, we had James White, we had Burkhead, we had Sony Michel, I think we had Brandon Bolden on the team, right? So you're like looking at, to your question, Mark, looking at that position, go, all right, looks like they're in decent shape at that position, right? But when we're looking at the board, you're looking at Damian and going, all right, it's a good football player, we've graded him a certain way. Okay, like, do we not draft that player because we have these four players over here? Like, not necessarily. Well, we drafted Damian, he basically was inactive as a rookie, right? And then this past year he played, and I mean, he was like our leading New England's leading rusher, right? So again, you don't want to be dissuaded by doing something just because like you have these X number of players over here. Just try to pick good players with the right traits that fit your program, what you're trying to do. And if it's at the same position where you think you have some duplication, you got to make that call, right? Like that's the choice that you have to make.
Ron.
Hey, Nick, you've been busy this offseason. I believe you've made about 70.
Not me, we, it's not about me.
You're right. We, you all have been busy, about 70 moves you guys have made during the offseason. With all the movement, who do you view as your cornerstone players? Who do you view, if there are any, that you have?
Yeah, I think I got the gist of your question, Ron. You were kind of breaking up there a little bit. Again, I don't think, you know, you look at it that way, right? You start to put labels on players. I don't think that's really fair to any particular players, right? Like, again, our thought process and mindset was to look at our roster, look at our team. And when you look at the players that we've added, most of them, not all, majority of them in that, they have 4, 3 to 7 years of experience, right? So they have some level of experience in the league. They've had some level of success wherever the program that they've been, right? So try to create as much competition, present an opportunity in front of them. And again, it's not putting labels on anybody that he's this, he's that. Like, that's not what we're going to be about. So what we're trying to do is build as good a comprehensive team as possible. Whatever that's going to look like, Ron, I don't really know at this point. Like, we know where we are at this point in time. We'll see how the rest of it transpires here kind of once we get started.
Last one for Ed Werder.
Nick, first of all, thanks for spending a half hour with us and educating us on your thought process.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
What do you see as the, you know, three or four positions of strength in this draft? And do you agree that it's unusual in terms of the number of quarterbacks who are worthy of being selected in the first round, especially high in the first round?
It's a good question, Ed. And you've obviously been doing this a long time as well. Each draft, right, is very cyclical in its nature, right? So each year, certain positions maybe have more numbers and more volume than others, right? I mean, that's the way it is every year, right? Sometimes the positions seem like they're the same each year. Sometimes they're different, right? And again, you just have to evaluate the player and then put whatever grade that you think is on it. I would just say not to, like, oversimplify this, right? But again, when you look at the draft history and the draft arc, right, even in the first round, right, you're hoping that it's more certain than it's not, but there's still uncertainty in the first round. And the reality is, like, it's 50-50, right? So if there's five of this, like, two of them are going to work and probably two or three of them aren't, right? Like, which ones are those? Look, I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Maybe you are, but I'm not, right? But that's going to happen. And when you look around the league, I'd say what's taken place here over the last few months, it's kind of representative of that, right? So again, there's no like set formula. There's no like, okay, this is going to work and here's why. Like, again, I'm not that smart to be able to tell you who those players are going to be that that works with, right? You just try to identify the players, make good decisions. Hopefully you've evaluated them properly, and hopefully you're on the positive side of the ledger more than you are on the negative side of the ledger. Look, every player that you draft is not going to work. Like, for someone to sit here and tell you that it is, it's less than truthful, right? It's just not reality, right? So that's just the reality of what we deal with, right? So try to take advantage of your opportunities, and there might be some circumstances once the player gets into your program why he does or doesn't work, right? Well, man, there's no way this player is not going to work, but then something happens, he has an injury issue, or they're just, it's a bad fit. Okay, then you go back and you evaluate and say, all right, what do we miss? Do we miss something? Okay, and try not to make the same mistake next time, right? So, I mean, I can't tell you like which ones are going to work, but the percentages tell you some of them aren't. And even at the top end of the draft, right? Like, I'm sure if you do the research, I'm sure ESPN's got research everywhere, right? Or whomever, like, we'll that'll manifest that. It'll bear itself out, right? I mean, I'm not like making anything up here. So again, the draft's a fun process. I think honestly, it's probably one of the more overhyped processes that's out there. So again, we spend a lot of time on it. Like, everybody's on TV talking about what everybody should do. That's great. That's awesome. Like, we can't get caught up in that. We just got to say, all right, look, we're going to evaluate the players, do what we feel is best for us, and just try to find the right people that we think are going to fit the Houston Texans. And then hopefully it works out and we can coach them and develop them and they make improvements.
It's Nick Caserio live from NRG right here on Sports Radio 610. A lot to unpack there. Some interesting stuff about Deshaun Watson, the draft process, and more, and about 676 rights by my count. Coming up in the hits, we'll react to what Caserio had to say about Deshaun Watson. We'll also hear from Casario's old boss, Bill Belichick. Did he take some shots at the Texans GM? We'll discuss next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Nick Caserio just met with the media. This is what he had to say about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, obviously in a standoff with the Texans. He's also got much bigger things going on off the field. 22 women now have put their names behind the lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. This is what Nick Caserio had to say about his quarterback earlier today live at NRG.
I wanted to ask you for an update on Watson's situation and about trade possibilities, just whatever information you can give us, please.
Yeah, I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
The last time we talked to us, you said that Deshaun is your quarterback and you don't want to trade him, but have the lawsuits affected at all how teams have approached you about his availability?
Yeah, right now the focus is on the offseason program, getting ready for the draft. So I think that situation is in a legal process and we're respectful of where that is. So we'll leave it there and we'll focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting our team ready for the start of the offseason program and getting our group ready for the draft and the opportunities that will be in front of us here, you know, in a couple of weeks. So that's where our focus is.
Hi, Nick. There are obviously a lot of scenarios that could happen, from Deshaun Watson sitting out to Deshaun Watson getting suspended. There could be a trial. How are you planning for those different scenarios and what are your kind of contingency plans as you look ahead?
Yeah, we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than that than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, you should probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting ready for the draft and trying to take advantage of the opportunities to continue to add to our team and build our roster. And we'll just take it one day at a time and focus on the things that we can control.
Hey, Nick, I don't want to speculate, but I do want to ask you honestly. Did you say maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago believe that Deshaun Watson could have been traded before the draft? And if so, has that changed at all?
I've never said that. I mean, if that was something that someone said I said, I don't believe I said that. You know, I think the most important thing for us is to do what we think is best for the Houston Texans, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and I just wanted to clarify my question from earlier because I think it came off differently than how I intended. It wasn't that did you say that you would trade him, but I was asking, did you believe that Deshaun Watson could be traded before the draft? And if so, has that belief changed at all?
Yeah, again, I'd say kind of go back to what I said earlier. I'm really not going to get into a lot of hypotheticals or kind of speculation. I think the most important thing on all of this, on any particular situation, what we're doing organizationally, we're going to do what ultimately we feel is best for our team.
Hey, I just want to ask questions. How do you proceed or go forward with the uncertainty that you're dealing with at your most important position? And then secondly, you look at a guy like a Tyrod Taylor, you say he was a good fit. Would he have been a good fit considering, I mean, this is a guy who's been a consistent starter pretty much throughout his career. Would he have been a good fit if there weren't this kind of uncertainty with Deshaun at this point?
A couple good questions. We'll kind of work back to front on that. I would say when you look at our team, right, so we went through the offseason. We went through back and evaluated our team, right, and we went through the roster. And I would say – specific to the quarterback position, right? There was only one player that was under contract around the team, right? So we were evaluating that position in addition to a multitude of other positions as well, right? So we went through our process. We tried to earmark or identify some players that we thought we liked. I would say in his particular case, he has some experience with coaches on our staff or has some experience, you know, in this type of offense or system. So regardless, like that was a position where, quite frankly, we didn't have very many numbers, right? AJ was a free agent, Josh retired. So when you have one player at any one position on the team, you need more than one person, right? You're going to need more than one person, right? So I think that's kind of how we approached it and just kind of went through our process and evaluated it accordingly.
That's Nick Caserio earlier today. Well, here's some more of that. How many times do you think he said right, Figgy?
Probably like 700 times.
Brian McTaggart says 200, and he's being serious. He says 200, 30-minute press conference. Brian McTaggart, the great Brian McTaggart, says 200.
Felt like more than that.
We'll see. Nick Caserio, interesting stuff about Deshaun Watson. I'm starting to wonder if Deshaun Watson might make an appearance at Texans camp and participate in the offseason program. Not saying there's a great chance, but in the words of Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber, saying there is a chance. Here's Bill Belichick, the man who worked with Nick Caserio for 2 decades. Kind of seems like the New England Patriots might be trying to scapegoat Nick Caserio, the GM of the Texans. This is what Bill Belichick had to say about their draft process now compared to in recent years. And it was courtesy of something that owner Robert Kraft had to say earlier in the offseason.
A couple weeks ago, we talked to Robert Kraft. And he said, he was asked about the draft. And he said, I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years. And he said he's seen a different approach this year. Would you agree with his assessment? And what are some of the things that you guys have tried to do a little bit differently this year?
Yeah, well, we're always, you know, always looking to get better. Always try to evaluate everything we do and try to find a better way to do it. So that's, I would say, an annual process with the draft, but it's something that we do on a regular basis throughout the course of the season, whether it's, you know, whatever period of time it is. So, you know, always looking to do a better job. There were some things that last year that were unique to the draft process. As I mentioned, some of those are similar this year. Some of them are a little bit different. So we, you know, certainly use some of that experience to improve the process a little bit this year. At least we felt we improved it this year. Yeah, but ultimately, we're still going to try to, you know, evaluate the players and make the decisions that we feel like are best for the football team. We'll continue to do that, and that's really what we've always tried to do. I don't think the mission's changed.
It's Bill Belichick kind of making a little bit of excuses. I don't know if they're using Caserio as a scapegoat or not, but I don't know how you can compare this year to years past. Years past, you had Tom Brady. You had a team that was going to the AFC Championship more times than not over a 2-decade period. you were winning Super Bowls. It was the best dynasty in NFL history. So, of course, now that you're the New England Patriots and you're coming off a season in which for the first time in a long time, you didn't make the postseason, of course the process is different. Of course, you're more aggressive in free agency. Of course, things are changing. Like, I don't know how it couldn't. It's a different era. Tom Brady's gone. Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay. Players opted out last year. So, yeah, the process is different. And bringing it back to Houston, kind of localizing it a little bit here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. I also think that we're in kind of a, not necessarily a dangerous territory, but I think it's a counterproductive mindset to try to wonder how Nick Caserio is going to draft with this Texans team in this Texans situation compared to how the Patriots drafted in the past. First of all, he had Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick had final say. There's no disputing that. Bill Belichick had final say. This is the first time in his career where Nick Caserio has the final say. He is that guy. Second of all, it's much different to be in New England, always in the AFC Championship game, with the best quarterback of all time, and a roster that top to bottom is among the best in the league. It's a lot different to approach a draft with that mindset than it is this situation where top to bottom, maybe one of the worst rosters in the NFL, expectations aren't very high, and really you could just throw a dart and you could draft someone that will most likely help your football team. New England didn't have that luxury. And it's a luxury to not have that luxury, but they didn't have that. New England went into most drafts, and when you list the three biggest needs, I'm sure there will be a list of the Texans' three biggest needs, but you could really list every position. They could use players at every single position, top to bottom, running back included, because you would like to get a young guy in there. New England truly needed three positions. They were set at most positions more times than not. So when you have that luxury and you're Nick Caserio and you're Bill Belichick and you're discussing how you're going to approach a draft, that's much different than it is here. So these comparisons about, you know, the New England Patriots like to trade this way when Caserio was there, and the New England Patriots had this amount of success or this amount of failure when it came to drafting, I just don't think you can compare that situation to the situation Nick Caserio, the GM of the Texans, is in right now. The offseason workouts. You heard our own Adam Spillane ask Nick Caserio if he expects Deshaun Watson to be at offseason workouts. He didn't say no, but he didn't say yes either. Speaking of those offseason workouts, Aaron Wilson of, I don't know, said that the Texans yesterday, he's still breaking them stories though, Fig.
AaronWilson.com.
Still breaking them stories. Not much changing on that matter. He said the Texans players, per sources, voted for no in-person voluntary workouts. This is on par with the Players Association. So basically means virtual workouts. Although there are some guys who do have bonuses for workouts. I don't know how that would be handled, but Roderick Johnson, for example, gets $50,000 to show up to workouts. I don't know if he's going to be able to retrieve that. $50,000 to Laremy Tunsil might not be that big of a deal, but when you're playing for around the minimum, $50,000 is nice for a guy like Roderick Johnson. But the Texans have voted no, and this is basically just being in unison with the Players Association. Texans signed another guy yesterday as well, DeMarcus Walker of the Denver Broncos. He announced on Instagram that he'll be joining the Texans. He was a second-round pick in 2017 out of Florida State. 36 career games with 5 starts during his 4 years in Denver. Coming off a career-best 4.5 sacks last year for the Broncos. Texans could have used someone with 4.5 sacks. They just have a lot of competition on that D-line. I actually anticipate that Whitney Mercilus isn't even a starter this year. I think he's going to be more of that situational pass rushing type of guy. I think we're going to see, with the youth movement, I think we'll see a Minihu at one end, and then we'll see Shaq Lawson at the other, and then Whitney trying to come in in his final year, most likely as a Texan, is kind of that situational type guy. The streak is over. John McClain got that first question. After five straight press conferences without getting the first question, John McClain got the first one today. He asked about Deshaun Watson. So now there is one local team slash individual with a five-game losing streak, and that is your Houston Astros. Astros have lost five straight since I basically planned the World Series parade after the game on Thursday, which I was in attendance at. They're going to be looking for a dub today. They're going to be facing the Seattle Mariners. Jose Urquidy on the bump today. Then you're going to have a little Zach Greinke. Then you're going to have a little Jake Odorizzi. Then a little interleague action out there in Colorado. Got to think Zach Greinke's a little bit disappointed that he's not getting to swing the lumber because he's trying to get that 10-10, 10 home runs, 10 stolen bases. But not going to happen, at least not yet. Seattle, by the way, in first place. It's early, but Seattle Mariners 8-5. Astros have fallen to 6-6 after that impressive 6-1 start. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. NFL news, the number three overall pick that we've talked about a lot that would have been the Houston Texans pick. I thought this was interesting from Cecil Lammy out there in Denver. According to league sources, and Cecil's not someone who just throws something out there. Cecil is a very professional, buttoned-up guy. So when he does break some news, I think it's something that you just got to take his word for it because he's very good. He's one of the best football minds that there is, in my opinion. He says that the Jets actually turned down the 49ers' first-round pick for Sam Darnold earlier this offseason. So that number 12 overall selection, San Francisco offered that for Sam Darnold, and the Jets said no. How the hell?
That sounds crazy.
Could you do that? Again, Cecil doesn't put out a lot of news, so that's what he's saying, and he's not going to put it out there if that's not what he's heard and if it's not a solid source. Think about that. San Francisco traded two firsts and a third to move up to that number three overall selection. But they were willing to trade the number 12 overall pick to the Jets, which would have given the Jets, if you believe what Cecil's saying, it would have given them three first-round picks this year, two next year, and they would have had their quarterback, Zach Wilson. If they really did turn that down, it's a big mistake. Big mistake by the Jets. That number three overall pick, though, one of the most intriguing picks in a long time. Damn shame that it's not the Texans. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, lunchtime, Nick Caserio on Deshaun Watson, and I'm starting to see the light. Deshaun Watson in a Houston Texans uniform. I'm not saying there's a good chance, but I'm saying there is a chance. So lay it out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.